Hey guys, welcome to the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast, Season 2. There is a moment in every dad's life where you want to become the strongest version of yourself. You want to become better. You want to rise up and you want to be successful and the perfect role model to your kids. So what is the Fit Dad Lifestyle? It's about being that role model, that leader, that example that your kids need to follow. It's about family. It's about trying new things. It's about fitness, laughter, full of smiles, and it's here to inspire you so that you can inspire your family. Enjoy season 2. We've got some amazing guests on board. Everything fitness, fatherhood, and success. Here's the episode, guys. Enjoy. Hey guys, welcome to the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast, episode number 96. So today we've got Matt White. So Matt is a father of two sons and the owner of Carve Australia and also a distributor for Amco, SMP, Drift Eyewear and EcoSol Sunscreen. So Matt, welcome to the podcast, mate.
Thank you very much, Leroy.
Mate, are you able to give the audience a little bit more information about you and your family?
Well, mate, turned 51 on Sunday, so nice day with the family for my birthday. But very happily married, mate, for 20 years, and I've got two beautiful boys, Corbin 13, Jarvis 9, and they really happy. You know, it's as you know, business wise, it's trying to have the right balance. And for me, you know, family is the most important thing in my life. And I come from a big family. I've got two other brothers, two other sisters, and my mum and dad have got 13 grandkids between the age of 8 and 16. So, you know, family occasions are massive and very important for me. And, you know, it's exciting because my love of the ocean and surfing, and my 9-year-old son's just started surfing. So, yeah, we have these crazy fun family sessions now with my wife and my two sons and myself. So yeah, no, it's really, really good, mate. Life couldn't be any better, but it's what you make it, right?
Yeah, 100%, mate. And happy birthday for Sunday. That's 51. You've, mate, got plenty of life left in you, and mate, I can't wait to see the next 10 to 20 years unfold with everything you got going on as well.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Like, to think that, you know, I left school when I was 16, I think halfway through year 11, and left school, did a carpentry apprenticeship, and each day I think of the journey that I've taken myself on to get from being an apprentice carpenter to now running my own company in the US and Indonesia and Australia, and also distributing Carve products to 27 other countries around the world. And, you know, no university degree here, mate. This is just a business built on blood, sweat and tears and lots of hard work and pure passion and energy, which sometimes I think enthusiasm beats all. So, you know, we're really hitting our straps now with the business, and you know, we're 22 years old, and the next 10 years is very, very exciting. I get that excited driving to work every day. Sounds a bit sad, but I get as excited driving to work as I do driving to the beach every morning at first light to go for a surf. So yeah, you know, when you've got your own business, and it's basically, it's like nothing's like your own child, but I often say that this business is like my third son. So, very passionate about it, mate, and it is. It's very exciting where we're going the next 10 years.
Mate, and that's one thing I've noticed with Carve, and like you mentioned, it's been around for 20-odd years, and the success that you've had to date, I really feel like, you know, you've just scratching the surface of what it's going to become over the next 10 years. Like, it's going to become so much more powerful and, you know, bigger than I think you could ever imagined. And it's, you know, survived the test of times, and most recently, I guess, all the COVID stuff and all the retailing stuff as well, and allowed you to take that plunge back online and really
take things to the next level. And I'm so excited to, you know, watch that journey unfold over the next, you know, decade.
Yeah, like that, the whole journey and the whole idea with the business came from when I was a carpenter and, you know, well, nearly 30 so years ago, you know, there was only what I call overpriced eyewear in the market, or there was service station chemist sunnies at $20, or like I said, overpriced from 200 up. And when I was getting paid $95 a week as a first year apprentice carpenter, and I was buying $200 sunnies, it wasn't really adding up. And as a trade, doesn't matter how careful you are with things, you just break sunglasses. They fall off your head on the roof, or you sit on them, or break whatever. You just seem to go through them. And I used to joke around to all the guys on site going, we should start our own eyewear brand, because every tradesman on every site had the same issue. And no one really wanted to wear servo or chemo sunnies, you know. Everyone was still pretty health conscious and wanted to protect their eyes. So we're all forced to pay top dollar for eyewear. And that's where I got the idea of, oh my God, there's a massive hole in the market for premium sunglasses at the best value price. So it was just a matter of time. And yeah, when I was 28, I transitioned out of building and started Carve, established in 1998. And it took a long time. I ran around Australia like a lunatic trying to convince every retailer that here's a product that's premium, best value. But the retailer was like, Matt, we're going to have to sell 3 or 4 Carve to get the same revenue return as, you know, the overpriced brands. And I'm like, well, you'll probably sell 5 or 6. As it turns out now, mate, they sell about 30 Carve sunglasses to 1 overpriced. So it definitely worked. It wasn't easy. It took a lot of time. And that momentum's only increasing. And back in 2006, when the GFC hit, was when we really got our first major lucky run with the business. And we pretty much tripled that year, because people who were buying overpriced eyewear were forced. The world was telling them that, hey, don't spend money. We've got a financial crisis. And so consumers started discovering our product more and more. And then they realized, wow, this is the same product as what I've been paying 3 times the price for, and now they haven't gone back. And, you know, from there we're branching out from sunglasses. You know, we've got one of the biggest snow goggle ranges in Australia now, and we're also doing a huge range of blue screen protection eyewear, and also now branching out into optical eyewear. So that, again, the optical eyewear came when I first needed my first pair of reading glasses a year ago, and I went to an optometrist and it cost me $200. I was like, wow, hang on a second. I know how much they're getting these frames made for. I know how much the lenses are. So we started doing plus 1, 1.5, 2, 2.5, 3, 3.5 at the right price, from $59 to $69, not $200.
Yeah, that.
So yeah, no, it's exciting, mate. We just keep adding more and more categories, and at the end of the day, I'm just so keen to protect people's eyes and save people money where I can, and just give them premium products, but at the right price.
Yeah, mate. I totally back up all those claims about the premium eyewear. I've obviously been wearing Carve for about 7 or 8 years now, and I've wore it at Everest Base Camp, to Afghanistan, to all over America, Mexico, Asia. You know, it doesn't really matter. It's been the only eyewear for that time. And during that time, you know, friends have asked, like, what are you wearing? Because, you know, they've got the $300 pair of sunnies on from these other brands, and they put them on, and it's just so comparable. And they can't believe that they're paying, you know, 5 times as much to, you know, have the same quality as what these sunglasses are at, you know, at $70-$80. And it's mate, it's a credit to you to be able to, you know, bring this to the market, because, you know, not only are you protecting your eyes, you're allowing people to keep some money in the back pocket, which is, you know, ever important with both family and life at the moment, exactly, with everything going on.
Yeah. I think the saddest part about all the premium, or what I refer to as the overpriced, is what people don't realise is 50% of the retail price is just paying for their marketing budgets.
Yeah.
And is that fair? It really comes down to the consumer, I guess. If they want to wear, if they're happy to pay exorbitant prices to have that brand name, or what most people around the world now just want value. They just want premium product, best value and price. So the high-end brand names doesn't seem to matter as much now. And, you know, with our range, we've got over 250 colorways over all our styles. So there's something there for everyone. And, you know, very easily to just go on our website to check it out. You know, it's carve.com.au, and you know, there's a store locator on our site that everyone will be able to find their nearest store. We supply about 800 stores in Australia, so whoever's listening in, there's a store very close to where you are right now that's got a lovely Carve eyewear stand in the store waiting for you.
Yeah. Mate, fantastic. And mate, obviously having kids who are, you know, around 9 to 12 at the moment, prior to having kids, how has fatherhood changed your outlook on how you approach life, both from, you know, a personal aspect and also a business aspect, having kids about halfway through your journey?
Mate, that's a great question. It changed overnight. It's funny when you, I don't know if everyone's the same, but the moment I had kids, everybody's child around the world became sort of mine. Like I just wanted to care for everybody's child, and you just realised how important these little human beings are to you, and how much they depend on you. And it's interesting because my first son was born in December. And I remember only 2 days after he was born, there was a huge swell hit the East Coast. And there's a really favorite heavy reef break wave that I used to love and still do surf with some mates called Voodoo out at Cronulla. And on this particular day, it was 8 to 10 foot, and it's serious stuff out there when it's that size. And for the first time ever, I was actually questioning myself when I was paddling out going, I really need to do this. I've got kids. But 2 days before my son was born, I couldn't care less. I was out there, I was putting my life on the line, risking everything just for that perfect wave. And then all of a sudden, without me really thinking about it, I started noticing that my whole approach to life was completely different. And everything I did was for the family. And still today, everything I do is for them. And, you know, I think that's what drives me even more now with the business, knowing that, you know, one day my sons may come in and join me and help me or take over. That would be great. But no, it's a great journey. And, you know, doing things with them is just, you know, when they were really young as babies, my brothers and sisters had kids a little bit earlier than me, even though I'm the oldest out of all the brothers and sisters. Said, oh, wow, it just gets better and better. And you think, well, it can't, because I'm that type of person who just loves living for the moment. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just enjoy what you're doing right now. And I was like, wow, this can't get any better. But now I'm actually the coach of my son's under-10A cricket team, and I've been the coach for their summer soccer, and I just can't get involved enough in my kids' sport, and I love it. And you know, I played a huge amount of representative sport, and so did my wife growing up. So we're a massive sporting family, and I get that excited going and watching the kids play sport after school or on the weekends, and you know, just doing it all together. It's just unreal.
Mate, yeah. I can, you know, attest to that. I get involved. My son does the Oz kick and the nippers on the weekend as well. And I love getting the hands dirty and getting in there. And it just gives you so much fulfillment, I guess, to not only watch them prosper and, you know, the happiness on their face from you being involved and be there in the moment, but also helping the other kids. And, you know, it's one of my pet hates and disappointments is seeing all the other, not all the other parents, but a lot of the other parents, it's either drop and go or they're just sitting over in the club rooms on their phone or chatting with their friends and not even out there, you know, actively watching their kids or trying to be involved or offering that motivation. It's more a social scene for them to be able to just, you know, go along. And I really give credit to, you know, mothers and also fathers who are actually, you know, getting their hands dirty and trying to help out with coaching or, you know, encouragement or volunteering and stuff like that. It's amazing to see.
Yeah. No, I see it all the time, and I love motivating kids. You know, some kids like me, you know, I probably was the kid at school that would have been diagnosed with ADD if they knew what it was back then. But, you know, the world needs high energy people, and, you know, it's interesting when you coach a team, you've got a fair percentage of the real high energy kids, and then you've got a percentage of sort of unmotivated kids. And I love working with them as a team and just getting the best out of them. You know, it's not about beating teams. I always say to my kids, and I love it, doesn't matter how old they are, the teams I've coached, I've coached kids from under six. And I say, guys, it's not about beating teams. It's about being your best on the day. And we'll just keep improving. And if you guys are your best on your day, well, chances are you might win. But we're not here to beat people. That's not what sport's all about. It's about being your best and motivating these kids to do that. And, you know, I coached 3 years ago when I started coaching, helping out with cricket. I used to play a lot when I was young. I got given the under 10 Ds, and that was my son Jarvis's first year. He was very young because he's now playing 3 years later. He's still in the under 10s, but he was put in the 10 Ds, and I got given kids that couldn't bat, couldn't bowl. We lost our first five games by about 100 runs. And then, wow, we just got better and better. And I motivated the kids and we started winning, and the excitement was there, and we ended up winning every game, and we made the finals. We won that, and then we won the grand final by about 60 runs. So it was, it's just amazing to see kids grow like that. And, it's a lot of fun, mate. I'm like you, you know, can't get enough of spending time with kids and helping them out.
Yeah, for sure. Mate, and if you could go back to Matt White on day one of fatherhood and let him know one thing you know to be true now, what would that be?
Wow. I remember, I know my son was born at 9:27.
Yeah.
And I know this is a bit transparent, but in a beanbag, and I caught him.
Right.
My wife wanted a natural birth. She was in a bath, but last minute jumped out and launched herself into a beanbag, and we had a midwife. And anyway, I was the lucky one that got to catch my son. I know I'm getting off the topic of your question, but my second son was actually born in the front seat of my car. I delivered him as well, but that's a whole nother story, mate. We could probably talk about that one for an hour.
Yeah.
But, look, there's so many things, you know. I just can't believe that, you know, the love that it gives you and the pleasure. You know, it is life changing. I say to people, it's the best club. Parenthood is the best club you could be in. And you know, it wasn't easy for us. We tried for 3 years to have kids, mate, and at one stage I thought we weren't ever going to be able to have them. And my wife and I were both super fit, and it turned out it was, you know, my wife needed some medication, thyroid gland, and then back it was all happening. But yeah, for 3 years there it was really hard because we had people don't realise, you know, what what other people are going through. And people make the mistake of saying to you, oh, don't you ever want kids? Or aren't you guys interested in having kids? Little do they know that, you know, all you want is to have kids. And anyway, so when it finally happened for us after 3 years of trying, mate, I think it's even more important than it just happening first time, every time, you know. So, yeah, it's been just life-changing and the best thing that's ever happened to me. It's definitely chilled me out as well. I used to, like, I'm still very high energy, like I said, ADD, but I think, you know, it's just leveled me, and it makes you look at life in a different way, and it makes you realise that the small things, who cares? Don't stress the small things, you know. There's so much more in life than worrying about all the little things and the what ifs and, you know, half the things you can't control anyway. So just go with the flow and enjoy it and enjoy family time, because it's not always there. So cherish it and live it to the fullest.
Mate, I love it. And what advice would you have for new fathers out there, or fathers in general, about achieving success with their own health and fitness, fatherhood, or in any business endeavours that they might have?
I can only talk what I did. Doesn't work for everyone, but, you know, I believe that, you know, especially as a new dad, it's so important that you can be around as much as possible. I purposely held back. I was married for 7 years, and before, you know, we had our first child, Corbin, and obviously, as you just heard, it took 3 years for when we started trying to have kids. But for those first 5 years, I didn't want to be the dad that wasn't around, and my business was too demanding, and my wife and I were working 7 days a week trying to basically get it rolling, and we didn't want to be the parents that had children and then never be around. So we held back, and then when we did have kids, you know, all my activity was done, and I'd get home and they were still asleep. So meaning I wanted to go to the gym or I wanted to train or whatever, I'd be up at 4:30. I'm in the gym at 5 till 6. I'm back home at 6:30 or 7, just as my wife and the kids are waking up. They don't even need dad's gone. And, you know, I get my training session in, and now I'm back being family man. And same with my surfing. A lot of it was in the ocean, basically first light, surf hard for 45 minutes, back home just as the family are waking up. So, you know, I tried to do it where I wasn't away from them, and I was there to help. And I think, you know, that just helps everyone, your wife, your kids, that, you know, they're seeing you around. And yeah, not everyone's in that situation. And some people, you know, are forced, you know, I know when I was a tradesman, you're leaving home early, and so you're basically leaving home before family are up. And that's a hard situation. I often think about that and how I'm lucky that I transitioned out of it into my business now, where it allows me to sort of see family of a morning and spend good time with them before I go to the office, and then again in the afternoon. So, yeah, I never take that for granted.
I totally agree with getting up there early and at first light, or, you know, as early as possible. And I have the same principles here of getting that training session in before the kids wake, and then getting home to help out with, you know, morning routine or school drop-offs, or, you know, just spending time with them before the day starts. And I think it's one of the most valuable things, if possible, for parents to be able to tick that first goal off. And, you know, then no matter what happens for the rest of the day, you know, you've achieved that first goal and you're getting your exercise in, and, you know, it doesn't matter. You can sort of continue on.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, as you know, the exercise early morning, mate, gets the endorphins going, just gets the energy levels there. You walk in the back door or front door, and you're on a high, and knowing that you're about to see the family again, that's even better. And yeah, like you said, you head off to the office or work, and you're like, it doesn't matter then. It's like you've had your exercise, you've had your great family time, and whatever happens in the day is a bonus.
Yeah, definitely. And mate, can you tell the audience a little bit about the Carve Fit Dad Sunny release that we've got coming out and tell them what they can expect with what we've got coming out soon?
Yeah, so exciting, Leroy. This is something that only this year we sort of, my team and I in here started talking about working with influencers and just really good people that we felt really portrayed, just the right image for the brand. And, so exciting with yourself, knowing that you've been wearing Carve for many years and everything that you do, and we love what you're doing and promoting good health and mental health and all the fit dad lifestyle. And it was just like, wow, this is just perfect. And so, when we spoke about doing a collab, it's really one of the first ones we're doing. And I'm that excited to, we're supposedly having the sample, the first finished pre-production samples of our product sent over the weekend, and we'll have them in the office next week, mate. And everything's looking great, it's just working with yourself and doing these collabs, it's really exciting. It just helps everybody's business, and it just promotes good things that we're both doing.
Yeah, mate, totally agree. And I can't wait for it to come out there and, showcase to everyone what we've been working on behind the scenes and, allow everyone to grab a pair and start getting involved with the Carve brand. So, mate, I highly appreciate you taking the time to jump on the podcast today. Where can people find you online and what do you have coming up that people might be able to get involved in?
Yeah, well, again, website carve.com.au. And if anyone's listening in the US, it's carveeyewear.com. Mate, coming up, we've got, I've held this one back, but it's getting close enough that I can probably give it away. We've been working with a company that we're pulling plastic bottles out of the ocean. So it's our way of helping the environment. And so we're pulling plastic bottles out of the ocean and recycling them into eyewear frames. And this is something I've been working on for nearly 2 years. It hasn't been easy because, as you know, plastic, as in a plastic bottle, is very flimsy. And when you've put it into a sunglass frame, the sunglass frame loses its memory, and which means loses its shape. So we had to then find another recycled material to add as a liquid to the recycled plastic to get it to be stiff enough. And this is something that's just about finished in production now, and we're going to be launching end of November, early December. Really excited. We're doing it in our best-selling styles, Vendetta, Volley, Goblin, and Rivals. So anyone who's listening out there, jump on our website, check out those styles, and early December, you'll be able to pick up your first pair of Carve recycled plastic bottle ocean sunglasses. And again, all retailing at incredible value from $69.99.
Mate, amazing. Well, I'll make sure I put all the links to everything you've just mentioned in the show notes. So, guys, if you're running around right now, make sure you check out the description at the end of the episode, and you'll be able to get in touch with Matt and also get your hands on some Carve products. So, mate, highly appreciate the chat today, and we'll speak to you very soon.
Leroy, please do, mate. Love to be back on. Have a great day. Thanks a lot.